physician those who are sick. Well, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thus far the text. Please be seated. What a blessed expression of the gospel. What a concise explanation of the conflict between true and false religion. Jesus calls a sinful man to follow him. Christ actually has the audacity to say that he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you believe that Jesus used the word repentance as if there is something wrong with mankind? People who do not see their own sinfulness complain about this. Jesus rebukes them back then and many today with his own word, with his word now penned in Holy Scripture, explaining his mission to forgive sinners. He also points out that your role as forgiven sinners is not that you give it your best shot at being merciful. Your role as forgiven sinners will be a merciful response to his mercy extended upon you and received by faith alone. God willing, the mercy he creates in you toward others will not bring you to start looking at how merciful you think you are, as if you can depend on what you think are your sacrifices. St. Matthew uses his own situation not only as a kind of sermon illustration, but as a summary of the gospel, as a means to summarize the entire message of Jesus to the believer and unbeliever alike in this short passage. The blessing of this message is the work of the Holy Spirit, inspiring the evangelist to take up his pen and leave this gospel as a written testimony that will endure until the Lord returns. St. Matthew doesn't waste a lot of the ink explaining the nature of his call in becoming a disciple. Jesus called him, and he is brought to follow. The tax collector left his booth, left his job, left his former occupation of greed, left all to be a disciple of Jesus. That is how God works. He is that powerful. The blessed Lord said, "Follow me." And so he rose and followed him. Matthew has nothing to say about himself other than that he followed. Matthew doesn't give any testimony about himself, but rather testifies to the words and deeds of the Lord. In fact, notice who it is that Matthew is brought by God to group himself with. The sinners and tax collectors sitting at the table with Jesus, a fact that upsets the Pharisees. Far from painting a virtuous picture of himself, Matthew, inspired by the proper understanding given by the Holy Spirit, shows that he is a cast-off, practically a leper to the movers and shakers of society. Matthew is a filthy tax collector. He says it matter-of-factly. Again, this is written not in order to teach you about Matthew, but rather to teach you about Christ Jesus. St. Matthew is an evangelist, one of four charged with writing down the events in the life of the Blessed Lord. He's a preacher of the gospel. He's not a showman, nor a fake. He is not an entertainer or an inspirational speaker. But what is he inspired to reveal? Matthew is a sinner, a filthy tax collector, a cause of shame to Jesus in the eyes of the world. And this is whom God chose to write the first gospel. Again, it isn't about Matthew. This whole festival, although titled St. Matthew, is not about Matthew. Matthew is the messenger, but the message points to Christ crucified. The Lord sums up his messianic mission. Notice it's his mission, not man's controlling of a mission, which man thinks he can improve on to make it more effective, as if missions is supposed to be the focus. When man makes missions the focal point, guess who they just took everyone's eyes off of? The God-man, Christ Jesus, and his making satisfaction for the sins of the world. The Lord rather sums up his messianic mission very simply. Only the sick need a doctor. In other words, Jesus has come for sinners, and sinners only. If you believe yourself not sick, and you don't need a Savior. You don't need Christ Jesus. And you don't believe you need to go to church. There's nothing a doctor can do for a patient who doesn't think that they're sick. It is only through God bringing about the acknowledgement of your frailty, your weakness, your infirmity, your desolation, your filthiness, and your helplessness, all a result of sin. It is only through God's bringing about the acknowledgement of your sin that the great physician can bring you not a cure, but new life. For sin cannot be cured. It must and can only be destroyed by faith in the one who made satisfaction for you, the one who was destroyed, who became sin for you, and was destroyed for you. Those who refuse to receive the truth of God's word, that they too suffer from the terminal disease of sin in this fallen world, they sadly will simply perish with the rescue, with the new life that comes by faith through Christ right in front of them. The Word of God is here. Today is the day of salvation. It pulls no punches. It has no great secret hidden codes. Some say that the meaning hasn't changed in 2 millennia. Well, guess what? The good news of salvation by grace alone, because of Christ's satisfaction being made for sins alone, through God-created faith alone, has been around since before the foundations of the world. And that good news was first delivered, creating new life by faith alone, immediately after the fall of mankind. There is no riddle to solve and no puzzle to work out. God Almighty, through St. Matthew, simply reports what the Lord says. He is the great physician, the physician who comes for the sick. Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. So who could have an issue with that? Only people who are not souls of sinners. For them, the kingdom of God is an exclusive place that they think they can earn by clawing and scratching through their own works, by their own sacrifices. Along comes Jesus with his throng of misfits, his throng of sinners, whom he makes saints by faith in his merits for them. Even a former murderer of Christians, whom God would bring to light, and to the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. But where does this leave all the work, all the sacrifices of the clawing and scratching, so-called righteous, the self-righteous of the Pharisees? Well, the Lord tells them, he continues to tell the world through the pen words of St. Matthew, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, Jesus has just told them that their work is useless and their sacrifice is in vain. For Jesus is the sacrifice. Their work is to be merciful because of their belief in his sacrifice. Mercy works is indeed the work of forgiven sinners. Work generated because of faith being counted as righteousness. Remember Luther's words, where faith is, good works necessarily happen. You don't even have to look for them, because God is creating both the faith and the good work. By faith, then, any sacrifice you make is not to earn the forgiveness of sins, because the sacrifices are made because of the forgiveness of sins. Any work that you do is not for credit, but simply because they need to be done. Your neighbor needs them. So, when you are brought to repentance, when you are brought to struggle against sin, when you are brought to do good works for the sake of the kingdom, you don't get one step closer to God's atonement for you. For Christ's atonement has already been made for you. The physician has come and continues to come to his divine service for you, for the sick, for the tax collector and sinners, not for those who would try to justify themselves. St. Matthew is an evangelist. That is, he is a forgiven sinner with good news to tell. He is one charged with responsibility for equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, in order that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. And by the will of the Christ, sitting at the head of the table where Matthew was invited and counted worthy to eat the bread and to drink the wine, to the shock of the self-righteous, St. Matthew became a messenger of the gospel for you, a bearer of the greatest news of all time, for you, a proclaimer of Christ who crucified for you. A true witness, eyewitness of Christ's death and resurrection for you. But most of all, St. Matthew became a fellow repentant, redeemed sinner, like all of you repentant who have been declared saints. How? By grace alone, because of Christ's atonement for sins alone, by faith alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.